All right. All right, Travosa, come. Let's begin. So we left off. On page Reish Chaf Beis, Matzov Zeh, second line in. So remember, second paragraph in. So remember, what we were trying to discuss over here is this idea that in order to go ahead and build a proper marriage and build a proper home, so there must be, again, this connection between the guf and the neshama. He was speaking specifically in the realm of when I discover, and he uses that lashon of discover, deficiencies within my spouse. Because he says, you know, a person gets married, they think everything is wonderful, everything is perfect. And then again, a little bit into the marriage, they discover that not everything is perfect. So the shayla is how one goes ahead and relates to the discovery of these deficiencies. So from a physical perspective, a person might say, well, you know what, had I known this, perhaps I would not have gotten into this. On a spiritual perspective, a person might say, this is my bashert, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to have. If this is my nisayon, then that's what it's supposed to be. So remember, the Mechaber said that if you're able to take that approach spiritually, that's very nice. Just make sure that your guf, your body, is actually able to perpetuate what your soul believes in. So meaning what he's saying, it's a very important yisod, which is that sometimes in life it's not enough to believe something. A person has to make sure that whatever it is that they're believing is sustainable by their body. It's sustainable ultimately, again, by the other components of their life. It says, Matzav Zem is Chalik L'Shnayim. This situation can be divided into two parts. Lefamim, Af Sha'ato Levavo Shal Ha'adam, Adayin Eino B'Madrega L'Kabal Emunazu. Sometimes the body of a person, so to speak, is not on the Madrega to go ahead and Mimakabal this level of Emuna. Miko Mokom, Kasher Yikhanis L'Talik Shal Shinon Ha'Emun B'Machshavto Opiv, Kima Kima, Toka Emuna Zublavo. This is very important. So, you know, we often try to wonder how I could increase my emuna, right? This is one of the greatest things we struggle. We don't really struggle. Observance is not really the greatest struggle because observance is just a choice. You know, either I do it or I don't do it, or I'm not ready to do it, or I will do it. The greatest struggle really in Judaism is emuna, because it's always easier to regulate behaviors than it is to regulate beliefs. So the question is, again, how do I reach this level of emuna? Because what he's saying is, this idea that when I discover a deficiency in my spouse, this notion that I'm supposed to say to myself, look, this is my bashert, which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs me to have these deficiencies in my life. So that is a very high level of emunah. And I just want to point out, I know it's obvious, but I feel compelled to say it. I say, obviously, there are some deficiencies that are so severe and some realities that are so severe that a person perhaps should not perpetuate the marriage. That there are situations like that. But he's talking about, in general, the kind of things that often people run into when they discover at the end of the day that, you know, not everything is picture perfect. You know, not everything is just hunky-dory. You know, there are issues. So how do I reach this level of where I believe that what my spouse brings to the table, she's my bashert, he's my bashert, and this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to have. How do I get to that level of emunah? So he says very simply, he says, shel shinon ha'emunah b'machshavta upiv. You keep thinking about it, you keep articulating it, and you know what happens? Kima kima. Tukva emuna zu bilavavo. So interestingly enough, as you continue to go ahead and say it and think it, you know what happens? That emuna becomes entrenched within your heart. Va'azai hein nishmaso vehein lavavo yihi yushleimim im emuna zu. And therefore, it would turn out that a person's neshama, a person's heart, will be complete with this emuna. Vishav v'ravachlo. Ulam. So we'll say, interestingly enough, so one of the ways in which the Mechaber is suggesting that generally we build emuna is by reviewing things in my mind, by reinforcing these ideas within my mind, and by going ahead and also articulating these very ideals. After a while, that emuna will take root within my heart. But there are other times where this level of emuna, this level of emuna meaning that this is my bashert, and no matter what the deficiencies are, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to have. Sometimes this level of emuna is very far from where man is holding. And sometimes a person is just not able to go ahead and quiet the stirrings of his heart, the disappointment, the sadness, the anger over what has happened with emuna. Or sometimes, as we said before, that which is missing, that which is deficient in the relationship and the marriage and the other is exceptionally acute. Exceptionally acute. So what happens? B'matzav me'inzem, in a situation like this, al ha'adam lahavin, shemechad hu nitzrach lishtay mishem emuna, shezu avodas nishmaso. So on one hand, the person is in a situation like this, a person should believe that he has to use his emuna because this is the avodah of his neshama. Ulam me'idach hu nitzrach lidrachim nosafos amras lahargia es levavo hativi. But he also has to employ other strategies in order to go ahead and quiet his heart, bring his heart to ease. And this is what he says it over here. We're not talking about situations where the deficiency in the marriage is so profound and so severe that it's impossible to live together. There are times where you have to sever the bond. There are times. You know, sometimes in life, unfortunately, there are relationships in which you can build a bias, but there will never be shalom. So in such a situation like that, I will say, and again, obviously it's not our topic, but you know, it's not marriage at all costs. Sometimes the best service that two people could do for each other is to sever that bond. But we're not talking about those acute situations. We're referring to the more common situation where there's friction, there's issue, there's difficulty, there's a set of challenges, there's something new I discovered that I did not think was going to be part of my life in this marriage. So again, if a person could quiet themselves down and a person could come to peace with it through emunah, matol manon, that's wonderful. What happens if he can't do it through emunah? Hargos alif hativi, na'asis pikoma ofanim. So both say, literally settling myself, settling my heart without emuna. In other ways, comes in three different possibilities. Aleph, ayidei his makdos bemalos rabos ugidolos shekamos idach beben or bazug. Number one, focus on the positive. Focus on the positive. We'll say nobody's perfect. So let's say my spouse has incredible deficiencies. So the shaila is, if I put everything on the table, do her milos, do what she has, what would the positive attributes she have, do they outweigh the negative? And if they outweigh the negative, then that's a bracha. That's a bracha. Also, it's true in life. You know, you're never going to find a situation that's perfect. So in life, the true definition of perfection is that the good outweighs the bad. That's the definition of life perfection. So number one, despite the shortcomings of my spouse, is there more positive than negative? Beis, ayi de havana, she'in davar shalim bebriya, uminastam b'chol davar kim chisarn gadol. And I will say number two, is there's nothing perfect in the world. By definition, everything has deficiencies. Also, you know, this piece by itself is the cause of many shalom bayis problems, many shidduch problems, which is that there's no such thing as perfect. There's nothing. We're people, right? Relationships are forged by people. People, by definition, are imperfect. Therefore, there is no such thing as the perfect relationship or the perfect couple or anything else. So again, number two, understand that perhaps what you're looking for may not be realistic because at the end of the day, perfection is not to be found. Gimel, Ayyideh havana, she'in lecha adam she'in lo yisurim ba'olam hazeh. Number three is that there is no person who does not have difficulties in this world. Ve'elu heim chelik m'hayisurim hamagiyam li ba'olami. So we'll say this is a little bit more, intricate. You know, suffering is part of life. Everybody has their suffering. You know, my spouse might be mine. You know, it's not exactly like the first two are a bit more digestible in terms of focusing on the positive. But what he's saying, if I would refine that, I would reframe it a little bit, in that challenge is part of the nature of the human condition. There's always challenge. And if you have an expectation of something without challenge, that's ridiculous. That's not the way that life works. So even in a marriage, if there's an expectation of just smooth sailing with absolutely no turbulence or no challenge, then you're fooling yourself, because that is not the nature of relationships. Dalit, l'smach bi yisurin, shemem rakim es ha'avonos, u'pochem es ha'adam medina shel hagenem. So we'll say again, Another interesting one, rejoice in your suffering, because suffering purges you from sin and ultimately, again, paves the way for better after. Now, both said that is theologically true, that we absolutely believe that there is the highest level of existence in this world is to be smechin bi yisurin, is to literally rejoice in suffering because I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is purging me of my sin. Now, that's a very high level. It's not necessarily the expectation of the common individual, but again, he's giving strategies over here as to how to deal with tumultuous or turbulent marriages. So ultimately, again, there are the Yisurin. Go ahead and be smichin with the Yisurin because ultimately they purge me of chait. Hey, ayidei shikios be'inyanam acherim. This is actually interesting. Find a hobby. Right? To find a hobby. Meaning, sometimes you have to find, it's also interesting, that what he's saying is sometimes a marriage is not totally fulfilling, but it's still good, and it's still okay, and it's still beautiful, and it's still meaningful. So a person has to go ahead and find other outlets for fulfillment. Right? Other outlets for fulfillment. What happens? I will say, and by the way, this is, you should know, it's klal gadol, that not every marriage offers the same level of fulfillment. And sometimes people do have to find their shlemos. It's not talking about a recreation set. It's saying find meaning. Sometimes, again, I will say, when you're unhappy with something in life, and this is the klal gadol, when you're unhappy with something in life, it's because you're not shalim. It's because you're not shalim. You know, I remember that when I went into Avonis, my Rebbe told me, he said, you know, if you're ever upset about something or down about something or feel like something's not going right, he said, learn more. He said, learn more. So at first, I didn't understand that itza, but what he was saying was that sometimes the reason we're so unhappy with things in life is because I am not shalim. So when I'm not shalim, when I'm not complete, I'm able to see the imperfections in every single thing. And you see people like this, right? I could tell you what's wrong with you, with you, with you, with this, and they know what's wrong with everything. Why is the world so broken in their eyes? Because they're broken themselves. Because they're not shalim. When you are a shalim person, you have a different perspective in this world. You have a different perspective. So what he's saying over here is, there's a problem. I have a problem in my marriage. I have a problem. And this is not just marriage, right? This is true in family in general. Okay, not saying the problem isn't real. The problem might very well be real. How are you sure that you've been mashlim yourself? Are you sure that you are a shalim person? Because it could be that the deficiencies that you're sensing are amplified and exacerbated by the fact that you yourself are not in a state of completion. So it's not just saying pick up a hobby. He's saying find other ways to complete yourself, and perhaps that'll change your perspective as well. Vav, and with this we'll stop. Vav, ayidei hashka, this is also ayidei hashkaos hachayim b'nesina. Become a giver. Become a giver. Because at a moment where a person is not just simply self-centered and involved with myself, but rather I focus on giving to others, but often tiv'i, when I'm focused on giving to the other, I'm much less focused on the deficiencies of the other. So I will say, this is gold, because what he's giving us are six strategies. Let's say a person has a difficult marriage, a person has a difficult situation. And again, if a person can use emunah to go ahead and right the ship, emunah to go ahead and settle themselves, that's great. Sometimes my emunah is not strong enough to do that. So how do I do it? Either A, focus on the positive. B, understand nothing is perfect. C, struggle is part of life. D, find a way to be happy with your struggles, because ultimately, again, they purge you of sin. A little bit more on the religious side. That was D. That was four. Five, get involved with other things. Make yourself shalim, right? Find a way to be complete, because often the deficiencies we sense in others and in the world are because we ourselves feel deficient. And number six, become a giver. If you condition yourself to become a giver, you become a different kind of person. These are the six strategies, he says, for someone to be able to improve their marriage, to be able to accept their realities, even if a person doesn't have the requisite level of emunah. All right, well, so we'll stop over here for today. There's more to do with this, but we're going to pick it up tomorrow.